Well, it's Monday, if you're listening to a Monday, or it's Tuesday. I'm not going to do the whole days of the week. We are kind of just in a post-Easter coma, really, full of chocolate and buns and all things Easter. And I am sat here in my food coma with Jono, who's an Eden virgin,
hey.
Eden podcast virgin, and Alice, who is not.
Hello.
You've been on before.
I have.
So, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself, why you're here, what you're doing?
Yeah, of course. So I've been going to the Forge 6 months now.
And we're blessed to have you.
Thank you, Ben.
And you're a listener?
I'm a listener. So I first got into Forge Church, so I love...
Oh, see, it's so good. So good. This podcast is changing lives. What?
Sorry, Eden brought you to the Forge.
Yes.
Podcast.
Eden Podcast.
Brought me to Eden Gathering, which brought me to Forge.
No. How did you find out about Eden Podcast?
So a friend from school, a follower on Instagram, had posted about the podcast. Well, why not give
which
it a
friend?
Listen? Hannah Goddard.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Oh, Hannah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Hannah.
That's what you normally... I actually don't know Hannah that well.
Oh, she's great. I'm sure. Don't think I do.
I swear,
whenever me and you have had a mutual friend, you're like,
if I know someone well, I normally love them.
That just shows who you are. I mean, you don't even go to the Forge. What are you doing here?
No, exactly. I don't know. I just get invited along.
You're properly involved in Eden now, though.
Yeah, I am.
What do you do?
At Eden?
Yeah.
I...
What do you do in life? What's your purpose?
In life?
Why are you here?
Which question do you want me to ask?
What were you put on Earth?
Which one should I answer?
All of them, in one sentence.
Okay, I'm going to give that a go. I am on Earth because I am the purpose, which is involved in helping in Eden by being involved and by hosting the Eden Gathering, like, get-together. But next month, as in, like, May? May, this is not working, I'm not smooth. May will be different, I'm not hosting. I know.
That is hot news after
I'm
press.
Actually a little bit nervous about the next Eden Gathering event.
What, because you're not hosting?
Yeah, because I'm
Because you hold
being,
it all together?
I'm being interviewed with my
about
brother.
About sex?
Yeah, so
Wait a minute, you're being interviewed...
So, Emily, exactly, this is why I'm
clarify
concerned.
Clarify quickly. You're not being interviewed about sex with your brother.
You're being
interviewed with your brother about sex.
Okay, right. I'm being interviewed.
Those are two very different things.
I am being interviewed by Emily Hannah, and there's a panel of us. On that panel is Dave Hannah, who is married to Emily Hannah, myself, and my brother, Sam Fenning, which is a relatively awkward situation.
Okay.
And so it's all about emotionally healthy sex. So,
well,
I'm definitely going to listen to the show.
That will be an interesting dynamic. But this is genuinely, this is why we exist, isn't it?
Yeah.
To host these kind of awkward conversations that
yes,
don't happen
exactly
anywhere else. But to do that, I mean, like is your dad going to listen to that? Like, how's that going
to
feel?
I have no idea. I haven't spoken to my dad about it. I spoke to my brother about it. But I don't know.
Because I feel like, you got brothers, didn't you? Like,
two older brothers,
yeah. I feel like speaking to your brothers about sex and that, it's like nothing, is it? But like...
Brother and sister?
Oh.
You haven't even told your dad yet?
Yeah.
At least your dad won't, he probably won't be there on the night.
No.
Which
no,
would be worse.
No, he wouldn't be there.
Just looking at you straight in the face.
Should we invite him?
Is your husband going to be there?
No, I don't think so. Although him and I have had the chat of like what we can say and what we can't say.
Oh, so there's stuff left unsaid.
There will be, yeah. I'm not going to tell everyone my sex life with Sam.
I thought that was the whole point.
No, but like...
That's why people are coming.
No, but like not the intimate details of stuff.
Not the timetable. Anyway. So
we're going to move on from
talking
this.
Talking of risen, we're here to talk about Easter...
That's the worst way of doing it.
That is terrible introduction. Scrap that. Alex isn't even here. He's got to make a cup of tea. Alex, we need this edited out. And he said he said, don't make this one edited because it's going live very quickly. So this week we are talking about Easter.
We are.
Because a couple of weeks ago now, it was Easter. Mm-hmm. And we're here to talk about it in a bit of a deeper capacity, what it means to us. Mm-hmm. It's more than just bunnies and chocolate and buns. It is... Well, I actually tweeted it the other day and I was like, I think this Easter has been better than Christmas.
I was going to say, Easter over Christmas or Christmas over Easter?
So for me this year, there's a couple of things that have fallen into place. So spiritually, it's a no-brainer.
Of course it is.
Like, it's absolutely no-brainer. Easter is by far, I would even go as far to say, Easter, Pentecost, Christmas.
Without Easter, we have no reason to have a faith.
No reason for the season. And no risen for the season. No, that's bad. But I just think like, but then with Christmas, you get all the family time and all that. But then how we had really hot weather and everything, and I still managed to get a bunch of family time. I was like, do you know what? I think I've had the family time. I've had the lamb, which is equal to a Christmas dinner. Other than you don't eat as much because it was sunny. So you don't feel like poo and you don't put on loads of weight because it's not like a whole week long and then you've got New Year's and you don't drink loads because you kind of still like...
Depends. I mean, I started Easter a week before.
Okay.
On the chocolate.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because people do that. But not like a month before with a calendar.
True.
And I was like, do you know what? I think this might be up there. Mm-hmm. The only thing, and I was speaking to my wife about it and I was like, no decent, catchy, cheesy Easter songs by Wham or Mariah Carey.
You just get solid worship at church.
Exactly. That's terrible, which not as good. No, okay, I'll give you that. Okay, Christmas films are better than Easter films. I'd say.
There is the movie.
Oh, Alex is coming over to the microphone. Do you know what? That is actually good. The Easter movie Hop.
Russell Brand?
Yeah, it's about the Easter Bunny, isn't it? Mm. I've watched that. It's good.
That's all I have to say. I'm going to fade away into obscurity.
Bye, Alex.
Bye.
So, Easter. Alice, what does it mean for you as someone that's been like a pastor's kid their whole life?
Okay, so I actually have had this conversation a few times over Easter. The first time was about 3 weeks ago, and it was all about kind of, did Jesus actually die? We had that whole conversation. That was really interesting. But then I have another youth group, and it's predominantly got... I'm a youth worker, for those of you who don't know, and I have a youth group, and most of the people that come aren't Christians, and it's a lot of fun. They don't really come to hear about Jesus. They come because we provide food and there's games. I decided that at the end of this particular session that we would go around and share as leaders kind of what Easter meant to us. I actually hadn't planned it or prepared it. I just kind of went on a whim. But it was amazing because at the end of it, five girls became Christians.
Wow.
And so that's incredible. Like, oh, wow. So
praise the Lord.
Like over the moon. And quite a few of them are parents don't go to church. Parents aren't even nearly involved in like faith or Christianity. Have no... Yeah, they kind of... like the church because we take their kids away on Wednesday night. So,
what did you say, Alice?
I know. Well, that and that's the thing. I can't remember.
I was waiting for it. I was like, oh, well, this build up's going to be incredible. People became Christians because of what Alice has said. She'd obviously poured her heart out into this one incredible expression of what the whole meaning of life is through the death and resurrection of our Saviour and Creator Lord, who is our Father and friend. But you can't remember.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, I can paraphrase.
Give us the gist.
Okay. Well, basically, Easter is a incredibly important thing, moment in the year for me. I think part of it is, it's like I said earlier, our faith stands on the fact that Jesus lived among us. He died on the cross and he was resurrected 3 days later and then rose into heaven. Because without that, my faith would mean absolutely nothing. My life... And I could be wrong, but in my eyes, my life would have very little meaning. And I feel like I really have something to live for. And so with that, I know that when I mess up, there is always forgiveness. And I mess up a heck of a lot. And for me, it's just being able to have that amazing relationship with a God that I know who loves me no matter what I do, no matter what happens. And it's that unconditional love that no other human being has ever been able to give me. Yes, I'm married and my husband loves me. But if I cheat on him, will he still love me? I don't know.
Is there anyone way to find out, Alice?
That's not a joke.
My days, it's dry in this room today.
I also
need something back.
It's because I had a dream about it the other night. So
let's go down this rabbit hole.
I had a dream that I had cheated on Sam.
Oh, do you know what?
And like it was the aftermath, and I was like crying on the kitchen floor, telling him what had happened. And I woke up like three times and had the same dream, and I was like praying to God, take this dream away, and he didn't, and I was really sad all morning. Felt like I'd betrayed my husband. I was really sad.
Do you know what? And genuinely, I've been on the other end of that dream where your wife wakes up in a mood with you.
Oh, I had those early on.
What have I done? Well, in my dream last night.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, okay. Definitely. Early on, I had dreams that Sam had cheated on me. And then one time he came home from work when, like, long before he was at the mix or anything like that, just in case anyone was worried. He's like, I think I met the woman that I cheated on with you. I was like, that's not something you should tell
that
me.
That's brilliant.
But no, I love my husband. He loves me. But anyway, we're going back to Easter now.
Do you mind if I take it a step? Do you mind if I step back a bit here?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about Easter. But should we just give an overview for the absolute beginner, which a lot of us are, because I don't really understand it all and I work for a church, Easter. So we got Lent.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, we got the Tuesday thing. That's before Lent, isn't it?
Shrove Tuesday. Yep.
Shrove Tuesday.
Yeah.
Then Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's where you get a cross on your head. If you're a Catholic?
Yes.
So you know proper church. But I've got no idea why. Do you guys know?
Not with the ash.
Shrove Tuesday, was that something to do with the Israelites and how they were leaving? I could be completely wrong. The reason we make pancakes.
No. Yeah, I believe is that they're using up certain ingredients.
It is, isn't it?
Leading into the Lent period, obviously, I think represents.
It's part of Passover, isn't it? But
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds stupid.
Jesus spent, 40 days...
That's different, though.
Cool.
This doesn't work, does it?
Alex, you're supposed to be the researcher for this podcast. You've let us all down.
Okay.
Where are my pre-prepared notes?
No,
okay, but anyway, let's just list out the Easter. So we got Lent, Ash Wednesday, Shrove Tuesday, Ash Wednesday.
I'm sorry, interrupting. I was wrong. Christians replicate Jesus Christ's sacrifice and withdrawal into the desert for 40 days.
Yes,
you're right, that is Lent, but it's not necessarily linked to, like, it wasn't in the same time zone as that just before he died.
No.
So
about 3 years before, actually.
It's called Lent. You don't need to know that, actually.
Did you guys give anything up for Lent?
No.
I did.
You've forgotten already?
Yeah, I've forgotten what it was. No, I always take something up, not give something up.
Oh, I gave Instagram.
Did you?
Yeah, I've been on Instagram, but that was before Lent.
No. So. What about you?
Tea and coffee. That was tough. Real tough. I'm not a morning person anyway.
Yeah,
I couldn't do that.
Surprisingly not.
I do.
I lived off green tea.
Well, that's caffeine. That's
tea. Tea and coffee, though.
No, it's a tea. Green tea. It's in the name.
It was linked to slave-free Lent. So, International Justice Mission.
Mate, do you know I used to work for them?
Did you?
Yes. Slave-free Lent.
Here you go.
Go on. I'm so glad someone's heard of this.
Yeah. So, gave up tea and coffee. There's tea, coffee and chocolate. I decided to go out and do tea and coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything that I would have spent on coffee out in town, for example, saved up, put aside and donated to International Justice Mission.
Very good.
Who are a fantastic charity.
Do some great work.
They do. Absolutely. So, you got Lent.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ash Wednesday. I can tell you what that is. It's the beginning of Lent for Western Christian churches. A day of penitence to clean the soul before the Lent fast.
I wouldn't say that's a church
Well, it's like, Roman, like, Catholic, Roman Anglican, Catholic, Anglican, and some other churches hold special services at which, and you're right, it's the cross on the head. Yeah.
Yeah, literally of ash.
Yeah.
I don't know what sort of ash.
Yeah.
And then that's it until...
No. Oh, no. Yeah. At some churches, the worshippers leave with the mark still on their forehead. So they walk around with like a cross.
Yeah, because I follow Mark Wahlberg on Instagram and he did it. And I was like, what are you doing, bruv?
Wow.
Anyway, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Until
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, which is when Jesus enters Jerusalem mm-hmm. on the donkey.
Yeah.
They lay the palm leaves down.
Yeah.
And entrance of a king.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then you've got, is it Thursday?
Good Friday.
Do you not do something on Thursday? Maundy Thursday?
Maundy Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is...
It's not on BBC. BBC Religion.
Oh, dear.
Page.
What happens on Maundy Thursday then, John? Obviously, I know, but for the listener.
Is that where
they have...
Linked to, like, the Last Supper?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Because it must have been the night before the...
What did you call it?
Maundy Thursday?
Maundy or Maundy? Maundy.
Day?
Day. Maundy. Oh, it's spelt weird. It's known as Hurley Thursday. Holy Thursday.
Hurley Thursday.
Holy Thursday. Covenant Thursday. Great Holy Thursday.
Great Holy
anyway.
Thursday.
Some great names.
Anyway.
That sounds like a swear word. Great Holy Thursday.
It falls on Easter, the Thursday before Easter, and it commemorates the washing of the feet. So it's not morning, it's Maundy.
Ah, Maundy.
Yeah, M-A-U-N-D-Y.
Which happened before dinner, didn't it?
Yeah.
That happened before dinner.
But why did he do it?
Because he came to serve.
He did.
Didn't he?
Yeah, and I think they were having an argument about who... Oh, no, it's going to sound... I'm going to get this wrong now. But
it can't go any worse than it's going now.
I'm pretty sure it was because they were having an argument about who was going to be next to Jesus, who's going to be at the head of the table. That's it. Who's going to be at the head of the table? Head of the table. And so he says, do you not know? The greatest of...
The first shall be last.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Humans, as human civilization, kings and superheroes, we absolutely just worship and go crazy for them. We idolize them. Yet what do they actually do for us?
Yeah.
Jesus came to serve for us. So that the last would be first. And that's just so backward, isn't it?
Yeah, and the cultural...
But so right.
The cultural implications of that as well, like, would have been massive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Friday.
Good Friday.
Good Friday, the death of Jesus.
Yeah.
Saturday.
It's just a Sabbath day.
Yeah.
It's just, there's no Christian celebration on that day. It's a day of mourning.
Nothing formal,
Some churches...
They do a service, don't they? Like a fire and light service.
Yeah.
Something like some
churches get rid of all the flowers in their churches to show that it's a day of mourning. So.
They should do that anyway. Anyway, that's a side note, mate. And then Sunday is Resurrection Day.
It's the Sunday.
Which is what we all go absolutely mental for. Well, Friday's... So in our church, in my culture, Friday's massive,
mm-hmm.
Sunday's massive.
Yeah.
The death and the resurrection. So that's a bit of an overview. That wasn't very good, was it? We are all terrible Christians.
Sorry.
But should have got Levitt on here.
I know.
He would have done a brilliant job.
He would.
Oh, well.
Don't tell him I went to Bible college.
Dear. Yeah, you should actually know better.
I know.
So how would you, going back to Alice's question then,
mm.
how would you have answered that in that little group of...
I heard this recently at a Good Friday service that when Jesus' heart beat for the last time, everything changed.
Mm.
And I think that's so true that whatever guilt you have, whatever sin there is, God's grace is so much bigger than everything.
Yeah.
And the wonder of it all is it's all part of God's plan, all in his timing. It was, you know, prophesied about all in the Old Testament, he'd send a Messiah, even to the little facts, he would send the son of David into Jerusalem on a donkey, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the Messiah to actually come and be so different, you know, everyone wanted the king to come and save them from the Romans, some big, strong, valiant person. Yeah. And it's so easy to forget that Jesus came to save the world, and people at the time didn't perhaps realise how big a thing that would have been.
Yeah.
And it's just sent shockwaves throughout the world ever since.
Yeah, and it's this accumulation, like you said, of like thousands. I mean, the whole Bible points to this one pivotal moment.
Mm-hmm. It's the foundation of our faith, isn't it? It's the centre pillar.
And, you know, we've spoken on kind of the Bible and these kind of deeper podcasts before about what we believe. And there's so many differences of opinion, but pretty much the crux of the Christian faith is you believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus,
absolutely,
of Christ, and he's the Messiah. And if you don't believe that, if you believe in one bit of that, the death, then that doesn't really work. You got to believe in the whole whack. The only other thing I didn't mention about Easter was the ascension.
Yes.
Jesus going back up to heaven. And a couple of other bits in the middle there. But so let's nail this. Like, where do you fit in your opinion of this? And when people, because the history, I think, is pretty sound.
Yeah.
Give me the Bible College spiel on this.
Okay.
She picks up her notes.
Yeah, because I'm speaking on it on Sunday as well. So, okay. Which bit do you want to know? Like, as in, did it actually happen? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
So, I think.
I mean, I've got my opinion. But
okay, so there are lots of different explanations for the resurrection. Did it actually happen? Lots of people say, well, did Jesus actually live? You can find there's actually more. More written about Jesus than there is about Julius Caesar. And so I think we can all agree that Jesus did live. Lots of historians.
Jesus the geezer.
Yeah.
Like the person, whether you believe he was.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus the person. He did live. I fully believe that. And tons of historians, like I've got quotes from people from Harvard and like tons of different, like hugely academic universities that say he did, but
much cleverer than us.
Absolutely. Yes. But the different explanations are the wrong tomb. Oh, let's make this a debate. Why could it not have been the wrong tomb? Or why could it have been the wrong tomb?
So basically the argument isn't did a man called Jesus die?
The argument isn't that. So you believe he did?
Yeah. Like no one really disputes that. Like even the strongest atheist.
Yeah.
Wouldn't dispute that a guy named Jesus who claimed to be the Son of God was crucified at around this time by the Romans. Da, 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 da.
But the question is, did he rise again? And so could the disciples have gone to the wrong tomb? That's one of the first ones that people say. Do you guys think?
You'd check, wouldn't you? You'd say,
you'd check.
Can I check this? Yeah. I'm going to the, he's not there. Then you just like call up, FaceTime, find my friends on iPhone, be like, no, is it Jill's tomb?
Mm-hmm.
You know, could have been a Jill, but it was a Joseph, wasn't it? You get married in a Joseph's tomb. It is a Joseph, isn't it?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so.
So, okay, what are the other?
Okay, well, I think one of the other reasons why it couldn't be that is if that was the case, the Romans would have just been like, no, you went to the wrong tomb. This is Jesus. Here's the body.
So were the Romans guarding the wrong tomb, were they?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, another explanation would be that everyone was hallucinating.
Yeah.
So how many people saw Jesus when he was alive, claimed? So in the Bible, how many people around?
It was.
Give us a figure, Ben, come on.
Well, I'm thinking it was probably 15, 16, 17. I reckon probably about 20 people.
No, because he met hundreds of people after that, didn't he?
Oh, during the ascension part.
Yeah, before he rose again.
Right. Yeah.
He saw about like over 100 people because I can't remember the exact.
No, because he's got. So the reason why I said that is because like it's in the disciples.
Yeah.
And there's the three women.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the two men on the road.
Yeah.
And
they're
then,
disciples.
Are they?
They're his disciples. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because then they go and they said, I need to get my Bible.
Then
out.
There's.
I should have brought my Bible.
Then there's the breakfast on the beach moment, but that's with the disciples.
Okay, hang on.
I'm not sure the people on the road are the disciples. What about you, Jono?
I think I'm with you, Ben.
Yeah, but then you're saying there's it's a lot of people.
A lot of people, yeah. Hang on. No, I'm going to find this. Can we pause the podcast?
They can.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work. That would make the pause longer, if anything.
Oh, no. They got up at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them. So they weren't one of the 12. I'm sorry. You were right. You were. So who is it?
Alex, could you take a sign bite out of that? Ben, you were right. I'm sorry. And just send it to me so I can put it as a ringtone.
Great.
Okay. Either way.
Yeah. Anyway, so lots of people saw him afterwards.
Lots of people saw him
and confirmed
afterwards.
His identity.
Yeah.
Eyewitness accounts, you know.
Eyewitness accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And psychiatrists, they know that hallucinations don't actually work like that. They're
all right.
Generally deeply personal. You can't have lots of people having the same
same one. Exactly notes. That.
I'm sure it's about 500 people that do see really? Jesus. I'm sure. I mean, it must be in like...
It could be, yeah.
I think it's in John.
Yeah, no.
I've guessed.
The more the merrier.
But anyway, I'm pretty sure there are tons and tons of people. So I don't think... This is not making me sound very clever. I'm so aware of this.
That's all right. You haven't trained and done years and years at Bible College, so...
Ridiculous.
What did I teach at that place?
When did you get... We did all right.
No, you did really well. Yeah, what else then? What else?
Did Jesus swoon or faint, or was he just not actually dead?
So well, what did the Romans say about that?
Yeah, they stuck a spear in his side, right?
I mean, he was crucified first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The worst way to die.
Yeah. And
he was still put in a tomb with a massive stone
and
a guard, a Roman guard.
Yeah.
And if he'd have fainted after all of the, like, he had, what, nails in his hands, in his feet.
His feet.
He was whipped.
He was already
punched,
battered before then, wasn't he? Yeah,
and then imagine it would be like Return of the Zombie if he came out and wasn't, like, fully healed and resurrected, or, like, at least mostly. He would have been, like, he wouldn't be able to walk. You've had nails in your feet.
Yeah.
And
dislocated shoulders and all that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good point, Alice. I hadn't thought of that.
There you are. He didn't, he had to have died. Otherwise, he'd be like a walking zombie.
Go on. This is good because I never even think of this stuff.
Okay. Was the body stolen?
That is the big one that we.
Yeah.
You can't really.
Thing is, though, Romans, the guard,
mm-hmm.
I'm right in saying that they all lost their life.
Mm.
Or it's believed. Because I believe that was kind of like Roman tradition, that if you let sort of the governor down, as it were, they'd lose their life.
Well, yeah, they had one. You had one job.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah. Plus, I think there's some Jewish soldiers too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, from the, I want to call it a Sandrahine, but that, is that a totally made up word?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Say it again.
Like from the temple. What do they call it?
Yeah, from the temple.
Sandrahine. That's totally made up.
Sanhedrin.
What is that?
Sanhedrin.
Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
Thank you. Whoops. We sound
but
so
why
stupid.
Are you talking about that? I missed.
We're talking about the people guarding the tomb.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
Roman soldiers and Jewish soldiers as well.
Yeah. So the disciples would have had to get through them.
Yeah.
But they also weren't particularly in the mood to be going and stealing a body because they were all incredibly sad. Yeah. And it was a Sabbath day. That would have been work. Goes against their religion. So could the Roman authorities have moved it?
But that wasn't in their interest at all.
No, you're right.
No?
No, it wouldn't have been. So unless they stole
the opposite of the point.
And then showed when the disciples were like, Jesus is risen. They would have been like, no, he didn't. We just stole the body to fool you. Here it is.
Mm.
And he's, because they created an uproar. Like there was so much like change in like the Roman history because Christians.
So are we saying then that this is pretty sound?
Put it this way, how many Christians are there in the world today? 2.3-ish billion?
I've no idea.
I think.
I'll Google it.
Seven more after Alice converted them all with a preach.
I mean, look, if people are going to live their lives and devote their lives to God and to Jesus and Christianity.
2.18 billion
people in the world, plus those that have lived before.
Mm.
There's got to be something in that, right?
Yeah, but there's a lot of people believe a lot.
And there's other religions as well.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, but I think then anyone can make an argument for anything.
Mm. But I think the the difference with our Christian faith, I don't know, I could be wrong, but for me,
You're not on a great run, Alice, to be honest.
No, I know. It sounded so much better in my youth. I'm so much more comfortable talking to young people.
Ouch.
I am. I can relate to them better. I'm still like a teenager.
We're not old.
But you're not like 16.
No.
Can't argue with that.
You got me there.
You distracted me.
Sorry.
What was I saying?
You're saying you might be wrong, but
I just from everything that I've experienced in terms of experiencing God firsthand, as well as reading about it in the Bible and really getting to grips with, and at Bible college, like, I know it sounds like I don't know anything. I'm just not very good at answering questions, like really quickly.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And so I don't know. I'm sorry. I just keep getting lost.
I mean, I think people's relationship with Jesus is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
I think I see
God
a lot in hindsight.
Yeah.
But it's that people have that personal relationship with Jesus, which kind of cements that faith.
So I guess my problem with what we've spoken about so far is this, is like when basically what we're saying is look at the facts.
Yeah.
Is what we've just said.
Mm-hmm.
But then when someone else goes, Genesis 1, look at the facts.
Oh, no, you can't say that.
But go on, then why?
That's a whole new argument new podcast.
But can you not understand why it would look like we're contradicting ourselves here?
Yes, but it depends how you read the Bible. The Bible is written with so many different types of writing. There's poetry, it uses letters, it uses songs, it uses like literature, history, history. There's so many different types of ways of reading the Bible. You can't just bring out a verse and be like, oh, but what about Genesis 1 where it says...
It's out of context, right?
It's totally out of context, I think. And the whole Bible's got to be read in the context, I think, of Jesus.
It all points to Jesus.
Yeah. And so you can look at the whole Bible and pull it apart and say, yeah, what about this? What about this? But it was written in a different time. It was written in a completely different time. They thought the earth was flat at that point. There was...
A lot of people do.
No, not that many people do anymore.
A lot of people around the globe think that.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good one. But as someone, I mean, we'll talk about this more next week when we got you on, Jono, but as someone that's kind of lost their faith and gained it back, did you ever think about Easter or what you did believe and didn't believe? Because we've just said this is fact, it cannot be disputed, cannot be argued against. Did you?
It's a difficult one. Growing up, I believed in God, but it was hard to get emotive about my Christian faith at that time. Mm. Coming back to God through Jesus was a very emotive time for me.
Right.
And seeing the miracles and the ways God has worked in my life made it very real and very plain.
Mm.
I think there comes a time where there'll be some people listening that believe in God, but they haven't really heard about Jesus.
Yeah,
it's true.
So that's where we as a church have got to equip ourselves to speak to them on their level, how the modern day is with social media, with the way we work.
And podcasting,
absolutely. Yeah. And share the message of Jesus. Because Jesus is the Son of God. Let's not take away the plain and simple fact that God walked this earth.
Yeah.
And he sent his son to die one of the most painful deaths that you can imagine.
And have God forsake him. And how horrible must that have been?
To leave him. He was lonely on that cross. He was on his own. And then went down into the pits of hell, whatever that's like. I'm not going to talk about that now. But like to conquer death and rise again, also that we can have this amazing relationship with him. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about Jesus if he didn't conquer death.
Yeah.
If he didn't do that, because we'd still be living under Jewish law if we were Jews, we'd be living under laws, but we're living under a relationship. So it's so different.
Go on then. So what does, because I think it's easy for me, and I hope you guys have got better words to explain it, because I think I'd struggle. But what does the death of Jesus have anything to do with me and God?
It restores your broken relationship with God. So going back to the fall, obviously looking at the picture as a bigger picture, Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with God. Yeah. They spoke to God. Like, how incredible is that? Yet the sin of mankind broke that relationship with God. We thought we could do it ourselves. We wanted to go and live life, to eat apple from the tree that we shouldn't. We thought we could do it without God.
All right, now she's getting firmed up with the details.
Sorry, carry on.
It's really rude to interrupt, actually, Alice.
Sorry, carry on. Please carry on.
But yeah, so we thought we could do it without God. And what Jesus does is he restores that relationship for you, Ben.
That's good. Alice, what does it look like in your life to know that Jesus died for you?
I think for me, I always do things wrong. I lie. I have stolen. I cheat, whether like in sports, in games, in lots of different ways. I cheat. I think bad thoughts. I am really just a horrible person. And probably in this room, we are actually lying, thieving cheaters, because I imagine all of us in this room have done all of those things at one point in life. And so for me, it's knowing that despite those things, despite someone knowing the inmost core of who I am, and the fact that at my core I'm a liar, at my core I am a cheater, and all those things, and yet there's someone that loves me even though I have those things. And even though my nature is to be selfish, I know there's a God that was so selfless that he sent his son to die on a cross so that I could have this amazing relationship with him. Because without it, I have no right to speak to God. I'm not righteous. I'm not holy. I'm not any of those things. Without Jesus dying on the cross, I would never be able to experience the holiness of God, have the Holy Spirit in my life. And for me, I would not be who I am today without my faith.
It's incredible to hear.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. And I think all of us deep down, whether Christian or not Christian, we know that we do things wrong.
We fall short.
Yeah, absolutely. We fall short of perfection. We always will. And it's just going back to that, no matter what, someone out there loves me and will always love me and wants me to know him.
It's incredible, isn't it? And I think for me, there's kind of another element is one, we've got all that through Jesus's death on the cross, through Easter, but there's also the incredible and radical teachings that, what an example for us to live by. He was a perfect human, the one and only perfect human who preached about love. And in such a broken world, how great is it to study and to hear how Jesus preached to the masses about things that seem so opposite to what we're taught to do in society.
Yeah.
So Jesus took on all of our rubbish at the cross and died.
Yeah.
And it died with him. So why is it important that he rose again?
Otherwise it would, I think, Johnny.
It shows God's authority over death.
Yes, that's what I meant to say. That is exactly it.
As simple as that is and as short as it is, Jesus was obedient to God. He was obedient to us. He served us, yet he had no obedience over death. Death has lost his sting. And I think that's the most powerful thing in this human world. So once something dies, without sounding too scientific, it's dead, right?
Yeah.
But with God, all things are possible.
And we haven't talked about the fact that we'll have eternal life with him now.
Exactly.
Everyone previously who believed and everyone who will believe will have eternal life with me. That's what Jesus said, paraphrased.
Yeah, you got to think, like, probably the devil's thinking, oh, Jesus has died now. He's probably quite excited with himself, quite happy with himself.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Or, no, he'd be celebrating.
Yeah.
But anyway, he rose again, so he conquered death.
Exactly that.
He has more power than the devil.
And with that, we're born again in that.
And we are alive because he is alive.
Yeah.
But what does it look like to live like that now? Because I feel like every Easter I get fired up about all Jesus has done for me, but it don't last as long as I want it to.
Okay.
What does it look like for you to live with the knowledge and the power of the resurrection in you?
I totally see where you're coming from with that. I'm quite similar. I'm really trying hard this year to keep riding that wave. And it, leading up to Christmas was so good. Doing sort of Lent helped me focus myself on one, doing great for slaves, but also focusing on Jesus and Easter. And we, why should we forget that? Why should Easter be any different? We love traditions as humans, but why should that be any different from Easter to next month, to August?
And do you know, one of the things that's really helped me since starting working for a church and being involved in that, most weeks, I mean, nearly every week, pretty much every week, I'll talk about Jesus and I'll say at the end, this is the faith that I have. And like, I'm the lead youth worker there and my vision is for these young people to grasp onto that faith. And so I think this year has been one of the first years where I've kind of, since September, I like, one of my biggest aims for my older young people is for them to really own their faith. And the best way to do that is to really show them how I do. So I've really taken it into, like, that's not really cheesy, but like my heart to really live that life out, so that the 15, 16, 17, 18 year olds can look and be like, oh, there's someone that's living out their faith. And it's not to say that like I'm the best person who does that, but it's that actually I want to be someone who can say, yeah, but this is such a better way to live. It's so much better to not go and get absolutely drunk on every Friday night. It's so much better to wait and have sex before you're married. It's so much better to live life for other people, serving, like we talked about, Jesus was serving other people. It's so much better to live your life serving other people than being self-indulgent and getting all of our affirmation from our Instagram likes. Like, we need to be getting our affirmation from God.
No better affirmation, is there?
No.
It
comes back to discipline, doesn't it, I think? Discipline in your reading of scripture, discipline in prayer, attending church, but then also being obedient to God still. So Jesus was still obedient to God. And I think it's important that we are, and that we always search God's will and ask for him to be pushed out of our comfort zones in that, be it serving.
And ask for forgiveness. Like, we all mess up. I've said I'm a horribly, horrible human being often. But it's always asking for forgiveness. So when I end up shouting at someone because they've been annoying me, or when I end up being rude or having these horrible thoughts, you say, oh God, I'm really sorry. I'm going to try again. And you like, start again. Try, start over.
And he's like, I've already paid for it.
Yeah.
It's already done.
Yeah.
She looks at us through Jesus. Finished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's already finished.
Yeah.
And that's taken it on board.
That, what you've just said, is what gets me super emotional. It's the fact that, like, I actually always, like, well up when people say things like that, because it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but that, but where you're at there is how we should all be. Like, to think of what, like, for those that believe in it, we should all feel totally overcome when we really grasp what happened at the cross, when we really grasp what happened when God rose again, the victory that we have in that, the fact that we are alive, the fact that we were in chains, now we're free, all of this. And it should be, we should be jumping for joy and we should be crying. We should be overwhelmed.
It too easily can.
It frustrates me. It's a real frustration of mine that we don't get it.
It becomes a bit routine, doesn't it?
Because
you just hear it and you kind of think, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins. And you hear it over and over and over. It can be so hard to really reside with that sometimes. Yeah,
definitely. But as you listen to this, I hope that we, I don't know, inject maybe a bit more of, revelation. I guess it all comes through revelation. And if this podcast has helped in that in any way, then I hope, we all begin to live in the freedom and the knowledge of all that Christ has done for us through his love for us. And if you're feeling down, if you're feeling undervalued, know that if you are the only person on planet Earth, God will have still sent his son to die for you. And you should live in the knowledge and wonder of that. Alice and Jono, thanks so much for being here.
It's been a pleasure.
Alex, thanks for producing this. If you want to hear Alex, not Alex, Alice, talk about sex, then get along to the next Eden Gathering. All of the Eden Gathering stuff is on the website, edengathering.co.uk, and we will see you next time.
It's on the 3rd of May, the 2nd of May, if you're interested.
You ruined my smooth outro where I was just about to say, play the music.
Play the music.
Play the music.
Play the music.